The Rebbe resumed the topic on which he had spoken the previous day, Shmini Atzeres, in the Maimer beginning with the words, Bayim HaShmini Shalach. In the course of that discourse, he had elaborated on the words from Shir HaShirim, Shalachayich Pardes Rimonim. In their literal meaning, according to Rashi, these words mean, your arid areas, hence the least worthy among you, are an orchard of pomegranates. In this verse, the Rebbe perceived an instruction. We Jews are obligated to make an orchard out of these pomegranates. The rind of a pomegranate, its klipa, is tough. What is of value is its inner content, its teich. It is in this sense that the pomegranate figures in the Talmudic metaphor depicting the attitude of a Meir to his teacher, who had strayed from the path, teichei achal klipasei zarach. Zarak, its inner content he ate, its rind he discarded. And just as a pomegranate has its pnimius and chitzenius, its inner content and its outward aspect, so too do we find this duality at all spiritual levels, even in the realm of the black silk frockcoat of the most pious of folk. The same duality is to be found at lower levels likewise, and from all of this is obligated to make a pardes. In order to illustrate the bitter regret of the Egyptians after the Exodus, the Medrash presents the parable of a man who owned a stretch of wasteland which was marred by a mound of stones, and sold it. The purchaser cleared the rubble, dug a well, and planted trees, olive trees and grapevines, and they were irrigated by the waters of the well until his plot was transformed into a lush grove. Passing by one day, the former owner wailed, "Woe unto me, for this is what I have sold." This then is our task, out of these very pomegranates to make a lush orchard, to speak to a fellow Jew and to persuade him to put on tefillin, to wear tzitzis, and even though on the next day he may perhaps not perform these mitzvahs, today's mitzvahs is nevertheless a thing of value. Take even the case of a well-to-do family who keep up the customs of their father for appearance sake. The local Rav sends them an esrog as a gift. Then, since there is now an esrog at hand, the household will take it up together with a lulav and give it a shake. And this, too, is of value. In whatever direction one can involve a fellow Jew in a positive activity to reinvigorate his inner essence, in that direction should one exert oneself. This should be done only through kirov, bringing him close to the mitzvah in a spirit of friendliness. One must, however, keep in mind that this kirov requires caution. Such friendship must be kept within limits. For just as one man exerts an influence on his friend, so in turn does his friend exert an influence on him. This is a process that passes through various stages. At first, one feels compassion for the other. This gives rise to a limud zchus. One seeks ways to justify the other's conduct. And this is how it should be. One should indeed seek such ways. The person who is the object of this thought, however, must not know of it. The place where the limud zchus belongs is within oneself. When with tears from the heart one reads a passage of Tehillim, for another's sake, through its words requesting the Almighty to have pity on him, this is Ahavas Yisrael, the love of a fellow Jew, which each Jew should practice towards his good friend, in the meantime being weary of excessive companionship, until with the Almighty's help, the friend is properly set up in an upright manner so that one may and should seek his companionship. In the Torah we read, Loisisna esachicha bilvavecha hecheach techeach esamisecha veloisisa alav chet. You shall not hate your brother in your heart. You shall repeatedly rebuke your friend and not bear sin because of him. On the one hand then, there is a requirement of the verse Tachlis Sinas Anesim, I hate them, the heretics, with the utmost hatred. At the same time, however, we are commanded, you shall not hate your brother in your heart. The meaning of this verse will be understood by reference to the commentary of Rambam. And this is how one should speak to a fellow Jew about putting on tefillin in the morning or saying the afternoon mincha prayer. For there are those who draw distinctions between the morning prayer of Shachris and Mincha. Such a person needs to have it explained to him that in the 10 minutes that Mincha takes, he will not forfeit his livelihood. And if he does not understand this now, He will understand this in his 121st year. Then he will be grateful that someone persuaded him to daven and the like. Then he will be happy that he took notice. In the writings of the Mittler Rebbe, Reb Dov Ber, one occasionally finds the expression of a derech tzachos yeshlemer. In lighter vein, one might interpret as follows. In our subject too, one might expound the verse Shalachayich Pardes Rimeinim in this spirit. For Shalachayich reading Shluchayich, your emissaries. The emissaries of the house of Israel and the various communal institutions, whose duty it is to make an orchard out of pomegranates, through the strengthening of Torah study and of the observance of Judaism, and may the Almighty grant them His help. The Mishnah uses the expression Hatayra Niknes, the Torah is acquired. That is to say, the Torah must become an acquisition within the soul, a kinyan banefesh. Rabbi Yeshua Tseitlin, one of the Ga'inim of Shklov and one of the three outstanding Torah scholars chosen by the Masnagdim to debate the path of Chassidus with the Alter Rebbe, once asked the Alter Rebbe, "What is the situation in your camp with regard to Torah study?" The Alter Rebbe replied that the working men, who were not professional scholars, all had fixed times for the study of the Torah. "But the same is true of us," protested the learned opponents of the new movement. "So what have you innovated with the path of Chassidus?" "I have already shown you a great deal of what has been innovated through the path of Chassidus," replied the Alter Rebbe. "And more I will yet show you. As to the present question, the innovation is that whereas you, with your people, the study of Torah is fixed in time, the teachings of Chassidus require in addition that the study of the Torah be fixed in one's soul." In earlier days, the Maimarim discussed matters of Avodah, divine service, with explanations given according to Haskalah, the theoretical dimension of Hasidic teaching. With my father, who rose and took the measure of the earth until the coming of Mashiach, with regard to the divine light which is to be drawn down into the world, the Maimarim were all on the plane of Haskalah, while questions of Avodah he discussed with individuals at Yechidus. Now, however, explanations concerning Avodah need to be given in public. In the Maimarim of my father, one often encounters the expression Lahargish Inyan Ha'eliki, to experience a divine insight, or Lahargish Etzem Inyan Eliki, to experience the essence of a divine insight. It is exactly this that one takes the liberty of demanding in others and of aspiring to. Thought has a drawback. Removing oneself from a thought requires activity. Thus, Reb Zera, for example, undertook 100 fasts in order to forget the Babylonian Talmud, to which the sages apply the verse, "B'machashakim hishivani," "He caused me to dwell in dark places." This Reb Zera did even though he was yet to return to his study of it. But in order to reach the spiritual level of the Talmud Yerushalmi, he was obliged to undertake 100 fasts. My father used to say that fulfilling the commandment "V'ahavta l'reicha kamecha," love your neighbor as yourself, is a vessel or a means to fulfilling the commandment "V'ahavta eis Hashem elokecha," love the Lord your God. Every Jew needs to constantly arouse himself to the performance of this mitzvah of Ahavas Yisrael, to love a fellow Jew, which is indeed to love the Almighty. This means having good friends and exerting oneself for them, both physically and spiritually, not fulfilling one's obligation in a general way, as if one could discharge one's duty by merely meditating on the subject of Ahavas Yisrael. Rather, the mitzvah requires doing tangible deeds, having numerous friends and acquaintances, keeping oneself close to the Torah and to Aveda, and bringing them likewise close to the Torah and to Aveda, each according to his capacity. At this point, the Rebbe said, "We will proceed with Hakafas together with the Mesirish Nefesh Jews, and together with Jews the world over. He then rose and gave his blessing for children, health, and sustenance in the following words: Jews everywhere should have children. As to those whose hearts have not yet been made happy, may the Almighty gladden their hearts this year. Jews everywhere should be healthy. As to those who need to be healed, may the Almighty grant them a recovery this year. Jews everywhere need a livelihood. As to those for whom this is still lacking, may the Almighty this year give them sustenance." The Rebbe and all those assembled then began Hakafas. In the course of the announcement of the verses of Atta Reisa, which the Rebbe was soon to be honored with reciting, one of the Hasidim who participated in the bidding was a respected householder known for his active support of the yeshiva in Riga. The verse he bought was, V'yiyuna amoreinu l'ratzein lifnei adon kol, may our words find favor before the master of all things. Before reciting this verse, the Rebbe said, there are various verses in the Torah which have two versions, a kri and a ksiv, the way they are to be pronounced and the way they are written. Today is Simchas Torah, the rejoicing of the Torah. Today, the Torah rejoices. The sentence as written says, Amarenu, our words. That is a ksiv. But the practical consequence of the verse should accord with its inner intention, which is, V'yiyu na pe'ulaisenu l'ratzein, may our deeds find favor. The dissemination of Torah is a matter of actual deeds, things which need to be done, not merely talked about, but done. May the Almighty grant that the students should grow up to be God-fearing men, chassidim, and that those who work in this field be blessed both materially and spiritually. At the beginning of the evening meal of Simchas Torah, the Rebbe took the pieces of bread over which he had pronounced the blessing Hamaitzi and dipped it in salt. There was also honey on the table, according to the custom. After he had eaten the piece of bread, the Rebbe said, on Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah, honey is not needed, because all things, in other words, the heavenly blessings, are already prepared above. But if there is honey on the table, one can dip the amaitzi in honey. The order of the passages in the Torah is also Torah, and a guide to Avodah as well. In Parshas Pinchas, a passage in which all the festivals appear, the last mentioned Yom Tif is Shmini Hatzeres. As to the concluding verse, Vayemer Moshe al Bnei Yisrael, and Moshe told the children of Israel according to all that God had commanded Moshe, it could be said that this refers to Simchas Torah. The passage on the festivals is followed by the passage on Nedarim, vows, and this in turn is followed by the episode of the battle with Midian. After Shmini Atzeres, the stage of Avodah next required is that represented by Nedarim. In this context, the Torah uses the expression Ish ki yider neder, if a man, Ish, should make a vow. Unlike the laws of Negoim, diseases where the word used for man is Adam, the word used here is Ish. This refers to the level of Midas, character attributes or emotions, for Nedarim in general have to do with Midas. In the path of Avodah, everything should find its place in an organized fashion. Now, every kind of order demands time, but even before any such plan gets into motion, one should see to it that in the most dispensable of material things, no should take precedence over yes. This is a general principle in Avodah, that in all material things one should, wherever possible, refrain. After this stage of Avodah with one's Midas comes the Battle of Midian. This name is etymologically connected with Midianim, which means disputing or contending. In this case, contending in the cause of holiness. This is to say that even Midas of holiness need to have bounds. How does one come out of this battle victorious? Through Elef Lamata. For Elef Lamata, the thousand Elef from each tribe, Mata, conscripted by Moshe Rabbeinu to do battle with Midian, read Aleph Lamata. Aleph, the first letter of the alphabet, represents the primary intellectual faculty of Chachma. The word Mata stands for Midas. The phrase Aleph Lamata thus stands for Hamshachas Meichin B'Midas, the task of drawing down Aleph, the intellectual level of the soul, Lamata, into the level of the Midas, in order that it should influence them. In general terms, then, the order of the stages in Avodah is as follows. Shmini Atzeres is the time of Klita, literally absorption, hence conceiving. In order that this conception should give rise to a sound pregnancy and an easy birth, Shmini Atzeres is followed by Simchas Torah, the time when the recipient rejoices. The next stage, as mentioned above, is the Avodah which corresponds to the next passage in the Torah, that which sets out the laws of Nedarim. And this labor of controlling and refining the Midas is followed in turn by the stage of Aveda represented by the Battle of Midian, namely the Aveda of bringing intellectual guidance to bear on the Midas. As for a thorough comprehension on this subject, this can only be secured by studying the lengthy expositions to be found in the teachings of Chassidus.